Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Hey, and here is what's happening Tuesday, April 14th, 2020. Thank you for choosing this exact moment to start our podcast, wherever you are and whatever day this happens to be. Brady Wright, Shane Osborne, Steve, the producer, Johan, joining, a ton of listeners.
Yes.
This is our 132nd episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world, where we are absolutely maintaining all of the appropriate COVID-19 social distancing things, and that is the last mention of the virus that we will have for this entire show. You can find us on iTunes and iHeart Podcast, Spotify, and of course, we're on Podomatic.com. Thanks for liking and following our Facebook page and all the latest shows. I also want to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Witch Doctor Restoration. Your next project should be a witch doctor project, whether it's a big job or a small job or a dream job, or you just want some advice. Shane will come to you. You can call him at 206-437-1765. Our first segment, as always, is Back to the Blacktop, and that's where Steve Johan has dredged up automotive news and information as usual, and this week is going to be an absolutely epic collection of that very thing. What do you got?
Well, sorry, I fell into radio there.
Yeah.
Well, we want to pause to pay tribute to Sir Stirling Moss.
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
Who just passed away, and basically, Stirling was known as a racer's racer.
Oh, man.
Whose career as a racer shone brightest during the 50s to early 60s when he raced for Maserati.
Yeah.
He was even featured in Casino Royale in a brief little cameo.
Yeah, he was.
Sir Stirling Moss was born September 17th, 1929. So this guy was into his 90s in London.
I think they said 93, 92,
yeah.
something
yeah,
like
I
that.
I mean,
yeah.
that's the same
amazing
same time my father was born. So
yeah.
In London, where he spent most of his life when he was not traveling. Yeah, I guess he's been just running all over the world. He's very popular, liked to speak.
Oh, yeah.
He was born into pretty much, you might say, a racing family. His father, his mother, and his sister all raced. And I think that's very interesting when you get born into a family of racers and you just take it on as part of a natural thing. And he had a lot of wins. He wasn't the most top player, but he still came in enough times that he won
a position.
So our condolences to his family for his loss.
Yep.
And if you ever thought about selling your own private labeled oil and lubricant company, then we have great news for you. In other words, you can start your own private label.
Have one before you can sell it.
Well,
right?
Here's the thing. G-Force Consulting has just released its 2020 North American Power Sports Oil Market Report.
Okay.
The report is a turnkey business plan for distributors and accessory companies that want to initiate or expand their sales of private labeled oil products in North America: motorcycle, ATV, UTV, PWC, snowmobiles, and other markets. So in other words, I don't know if you know this, Brady, but for years and years, I've run a distributorship where I can do your jackets and T-shirts and pens and pencils. I can even do private labeled energy drinks.
Of course.
So the oil companies, there are certain ones who will do private label oil. They take whatever's out there, and they'll put it in the packaging of your choice. They'll put your label on there.
Sure.
All of a sudden, we could have the Horsepower Chrome and Rust specialty
transmission fluid. Sure.
And
coolant.
Exactly. And that's what Kirkland does. That's what Safeway does for all their their products. So, in other words, if you're looking to do something like this, let's say you have a chain of stores, repair shops and stuff, maybe 30 to 100, this might be a cool way of doing things.
It certainly could.
I think so. Now, we said we weren't going to talk about the dreaded C word, but just when things were getting crazy, they are now getting even crazier with the import and use of surveillance drones by various municipalities now, with at least two American police departments deploying drones. Yeah, you're going to have a droiner after this.
Droin, son of Gloin.
Deploying one of drones to tell people to disperse, go home, and stay there.
Yeah.
One being the mayor of Elizabeth of New Jersey, who announced plans to deploy the drones to enforce social distancing rule.
I predict a lot of those drones are going to get shot out of the sky.
I was just going to mention that I think we're going to see a Mad Max world taking place.
Drone skeet.
And there will be skeet shooters.
Yeah.
Hey, there's the drone. Boom.
It, yeah.
It refused.
This is First and Fourth Amendment stuff.
It's it is.
Like, come on.
And I think we will be hearing results of, well, we didn't see the individual, but it just stopped working. How did that happen? Well, we're going to.
Yeah.
So it kind of reminds me of Philip K. Dick adaption of that was adapted into the Tom Cruise movie. Do you remember that one where they
Minority
could kind
Report?
Of read your mind
yeah,
ahead of
Minority
time?
Report.
Minority
yeah,
Report.
Of course.
And they had these little robots flying around. So.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he got caught for, spoiler alert, for killing his wife or thinking about it.
That's right.
So anyway, now on to some very cool things. Congratulations to Porsche for winning top honors as this year's World Car of the Year Awards.
Oh.
The all-electric Taycan won in two categories. Now, can you guess what they might be?
I cannot.
World Luxury Car, first place, and World Performance Car
Very
of
nice.
The year. And
well, they do make a nice car.
Well, yeah, and the voting was done by 86 international motor journalists who voted and assessed over 50 new vehicles, and the winners were announced during the live online conference, of course, by the WCOTY organization. So I thought that was really cool. Taycan is a cool car. Maybe one of these days, Brady, we're going to get out. We'll do a video report on that and have you driving it, and I'll videotape it.
Well, that'd be fun.
I think
I'm
be
up
a lot
for
of
that.
Fun. Well, we got our Chrome and Rust channel, so people can check that out. Now, Big Bucks GM as they tooled up and have been moving quickly on the ventilator production, revealing Tuesday that its first models for $489. Well, I should say, for $489 million federal government contract are ready to be shipped. The first 600 will be shipped by the end of April, with 30,000 expected by August. So they're getting some big deals through the government, boning up. And I guess the good news to this is some people are getting to work. And second, we're keeping this in the United States. And the silver lining that I'm hoping out of this is maybe some manufacturing and supply chains will be changed to the fact that the United States will supply more of its needs in country versus importing so much. So we're hoping that this might be kind of like the first salvo over the bow of the ship that's kind of endlessly bobbing around right now. So now, good news for Cadillac people like yourself, Brady. They are working on upping their game on the performance cars by lifting a page out of the German handbook with the launch of two super high-performance models, the CT4-V Blackwing and the CT5-V Blackwing. Now, rumor has it the CT4 version will feature the twin-turbo 3.6 V6, putting out 464 horsepower, not bad at all, while the CT5 will feature the 6.2 V8, that will exceed 640 horsepower.
That's the
which is
model.
What the yeah. is what their performance already. So they're kind of touting this, and so I wanted to ask you: do you think this is just kind of shuffling around what they already have and kind of repackaging it and saying we're coming out with these new performance vehicles?
Well, there's so much that is repackaged anyway. There's nothing wrong with repackaging something
That's right.
to approach a market segment. That's just smart business. And Cadillac, they just got rid of about four models 2 years
That's
ago.
That's right.
So, yeah, I think this is a smart marketing move. They're still you know, aiming at that crossover, you know, multi-use vehicle, which everybody is buying now. Nobody's buying sedans. So this is a move that's calculated to get them back in the marketplace. I'd be curious to know the MSRP for these things.
Yes, they
I'm
don't
sure
say.
Well, I'm sure that they're up there, but then Cadillac's not an inexpensive brand. That's part of their, their panache. But it's cool to see that they're doing it. You got pictures, right?
Well, you can go online and just do a little searching around.
Just do a copy and let's put them on the website.
We'll do that.
Thanks for tuning in. Hey, coming up on the Windshield View, we are going to take a look at the coolest car songs. Since we're all stuck inside, we might as well do some serious listening. Car songs you know and love coming up on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life, or just show up at your garage and weld up the frame for your rod so it stays together. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 206-437-1765. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 206-437-1765, 206-437-1765.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Project Yellow Light.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service.
Hi, it's Jeff Conwell with the Monsters and Manson, giving a big shout-out to everyone at Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more
Oh, Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back. This is the first half of our social distancing, quarantine, COVID-19
yes,
special
social distancing.
Windshield view. In this particular case, since Steve and I are in a studio by ourselves, we kind of started thinking that lots of people are home alone, and one thing that I do, and I know lots of people do too, is just pick some tunes to listen to. It kind of helps us get through the day. And what better topic for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust than car songs? So what we did is we kind of put our heads together and came up with some of the coolest car songs that we could think of that, you know, since a lot of people are doing Facebook car shows now instead of actually meeting, they're showing stuff on Facebook. They're doing pictures of their cars. There's a lot of that kind of stuff going on. So we thought, well, you know what? We're going to provide the music. And you cannot provide car music without going back to the beginning. Now, we've had the song Hot Rod Lincoln on this show a couple of times. We actually had the entire history of the song. But back in 1955, Charlie Ryan wrote the song. But the actual big hit was Johnny Bond in 1957. And then, of course, the one everybody knows is Commander Cody in The Lost Planet Airman, which didn't show up until 72. But as a kid, this car song was probably the genesis of the entire car song panoply, and this is one of the first Hot Rod Lincolns.
Said, son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that Hot Rod Lincoln. Have you heard the story of the Hot Rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true, I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. Got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pup's. Got 8 cylinders and uses them all. Got overdrive, just won't stall. With a 4-barrel carb and a dual exhaust, with 4 11 gears you can really get lost. Got safety tubes, but I ain't scared. The brakes are good, tires fair. Pulled out of San Pedro late one night. The moon and the stars was shining bright. We was driving up.
Now, obviously, you cannot listen to that song without tapping your foot, and slowly but surely, the car begins to go a little faster as the song progresses. And by the way, the reason we're only playing part of the song is, first off, there's hundreds of these songs, and we want to try to get to as many of them as we can. Plus, if we play the whole thing, we got to do copyright stuff. So these are all available on YouTube. You can make your own mix, pick the ones you like. Now, the Beach Boys were huge in the car song business. I mean, it really kind of got, aside from Surfer Girl, 1960. 62, they had a ton of car songs, and you cannot get past Little Deuce Coupe. It was a classic. The other one, of course, that hit in the same year, 1962, was 409, She's Real Fine, My 409, and then it was followed up the next year by Shutdown, which to this day, Shutdown is played at car meets almost everywhere. Here's what these sounded like.
So don't put me down, but I've got the fastest set of wheels in town. When something comes up to me, he don't even try. Cause if I had a set of wings, man, I know she could fly. She's my little Deuce Coupe. You don't know what I've done.
I feel like I want to be Wolfman Jack, you know? That's right, baby. American Graffiti soundtrack, take two. You got 409?
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409. Well, I saved my pennies and I saved my dimes.
Oh, yeah. Just coming up to the best line in the entire song. It's true. And I want to say, if you listen to Dennis Wilson's drumming, you know, he really had about three good lines, and he used them on almost every song. And that drum line could work for surf songs, for car songs, for love songs. He made a lot of mileage.
He used a lot of the same lines.
The line that they were just getting to as we faded the song was super stock darts winding out and low, but my fuel-injected Stingray is really starting to go. To get the traction, I'm riding the clutch. My pressure plate's burning, that machine's too much.
I love it.
Yeah, that's car stuff there.
It was the heyday of hot rods and rock and roll music.
It was. You know, it's where all of that stuff started.
Yeah, Southern
Cal. Southern California car culture was what it is. And,
yep.
You know, there were a lot of bands back in the day that tried, you know, to cash in on that whole deal. One of them was a group called the Ripcords. And, you know, the Beach Boys were already just giant monsters at that point. And in 1964, they came up with one that darn near took it away from them. It was huge on the charts in 64, and it still gets played at car meets today. This is Hey Little Cobra.
Hey Little Cobra, don't you know you're gonna shut them down? I took my Cobra down the track, hitched to the back of my Cadillac. Everyone was there just waiting for me. There were plenty of Stingrays and XKs. Spring Little Cobra getting ready to start.
That's too good. Absolutely too good. Everyone was there waiting for me. You know, it's absolutely cool to think that song, 1964, how old is that song now? Man.
Oh, man.
That's a 50-year-old song if it's a week. And it's amazing that it still sounds great today. The music stands up. And that was before all of this auto-tune stuff and, you know, digital stuff. They had to do that way every time in concert. And, boy, they played a ton of them. Now, there were a lot of different genres that went for car songs. And one of the ones, it was a little later, but, you know, the country folks weren't at all shy about jumping on that particular bandwagon. And one of the most underrated car songs, it's kind of a truck song, but it's a road song no matter how you work on it. It was from the movie Eastbound and Down, while Smokey and the Bandit. Jerry Reed is an incredible guitar player and songwriter. And this song, you cannot help but smile when you do this one. Getting a little thirsty here.
Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking.
say can be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana.
As a movie that was completely dominated by Burt Reynolds' mustache. An incredible piece of work. But, man, you know, Jerry, he never stopped. You know, people say, hey, you know, Jerry, you did this song for the movie, and, you know, aren't you kind of tired of doing it? You know what? He never got tired of doing that song. He loved it, and he was a picker from way, way back, Jerry was. One of my faves, actually. So it's kind of fun to think that, you know, most people... You say, what's your favorite car songs? And they can come up with a few. A lot of the ones we've played so far, you know, people know those. But you know what? It gets into one of those trivia games like, what?
It does.
Here's a song I like and here's a song you like. And some of the ones you wouldn't think of actually turn out to be car songs. So in addition to playing some clips tonight like we're doing, what we're going to do is I got a list of the top 100 car songs of just the 50s and 60s. Just the 50s and 60s.
You and missed my 70s
no,
and
no,
80s.
No, no, no. We're going to play some of those.
Yes,
but I mean,
we will.
I just happen to have this list. We're going to publish the list. It's going to be on the Facebook page,
yes,
and the show page. And that way you can go look at them and make your own mix. And who knows, you know, these could be blasting out the windows of your car at the next Facebook car show. So don't go away. We got a bunch of tunes. And no genre of cars will be left untouched. I can guarantee you. More of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust's quarantine car show coming up. Do not go away. Get ready for part two. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States.
This is Jerry Heasley, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest show I've been on in at least the last year.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad.
Vehicle City is right. This is the second half of the Windshield View. And before the break, we were talking about some of the coolest car songs ever played in the entire universe of radio. And you know what? Since people are kind of staying off the streets and doing the best they can with this quarantine stuff, we thought, you know, Facebook car shows are becoming the thing. Lots of people are putting up pictures of their rides and pictures of where they're going. And maybe they're even doing a little drive, but they're not getting out. We thought, you know what? A soundtrack would be the perfect perfect way to celebrate this. And Steve and I put together, you know, just a list of our favorite car songs, really.
Yes.
But there are hundreds of these things, more than I thought, actually. So in addition to playing the songs we're playing tonight, and we're playing parts of them. We're not playing the whole song because we don't want to mess with copyrights and stuff. So we're just kind of, you know, doing clips so we can sort of get away with this. We don't own any of these songs. And, of course, we're giving full credit to the artists. But we are also going to publish a list of the top 100 car songs from the 50s and 60s, and that one's going to be on the Facebook page. So, if you want to make a mix of your own for the next car show or just for driving down the road, all of those things will be there for you. So we said earlier on that we were talking about almost all the genres, and car songs had no prejudice when it came to, we're only going to make beach songs, we're only going to make car songs, we're only going to make muscle car songs. No. Lots of groups did stuff about cars, as evidenced by this one. And we had Ray Martinez on here with Family Ties Lowrider Club last year. What a great guy. He brought his car up here and bounced around the parking lot for us. And War, of course, the group did a song that absolutely personifies Lowrider. In fact, it's called Lowrider. And I got to appreciate that the readers picked this one. The subject matter doesn't exactly hit hot-rodding mainstream, but man, it is one of the best car songs in history. The imagery in this thing is just
killer,
too good.
Song.
Lowrider. I need more cowbell. Yeah, my favorite lyric in that whole song is, it's low rider, don't use no gas now. Low rider, don't drive too fast. And Steve was singing along with this thing. Well, you had a lyric you loved.
Well, I like take a little trip, take a little trip with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not a singer, but as a kid.
Nobody tells
us
we have to sing.
That was... As a kid,
young
kid, that was big on the radio, and I mean, it's still
It's huge.
My sons like it.
Oh yeah,
so
huge. And you know, that song is full of what radio guys and music guys used to call hooks. It's stuff that you recognize immediately. That harmonica line, you recognize immediately. That rhythm line, you know what it is. You don't even have to. I mean, you don't. It needs no introduction. It is just there. Now, about that same time, that was about 74, 75, and that was in the middle of the gas crisis.
Oh, I know.
And so a lot of people, that was when they dropped the speed limit from 70 to 55. And as you might suspect, rock and roll in general did not buy into this, and nobody but Sammy Hagar could possibly have done a better song for the period than this one. And it is a car song at its core. This is I Can't Drive 55. Sammy Hagar. Nobody does it like Sammy
Hagar.
What
a build-up on that song, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're moving at that point. You're banging on the dashboard and stomping on the console.
I can't go any faster.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And now this next song, I think probably it didn't know it at the time, but I'm pretty sure it was responsible for the rat rod craze. Everybody says, you know what, I'm going to take this and some of that, and I'm going to make a car out of whatever I got hanging around. Johnny Cash did this way back when, and it was called One Piece at a Time.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Oh, yeah. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, 'cause I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the envy of most any man. I'd sneak it out of there in a lunchbox in my hand. Now, getting caught meant getting fired, but I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired. I'd have me a car worth at least $100,000. I'd get it one piece at a time, and it wouldn't cost me a dime. You'll know it's me when I come through your town. I'm gonna ride around in style. I'm gonna drive everybody wild, 'cause I'll have the only one there is around.
You know, that song is so epic. I wish we could play the whole thing. I tell you my favorite lyric in the whole song. So we drilled it out that it would fit, and with a little help from an adapter kit, we had that engine running just like a song. And, of course, the chorus line, you know, it's a 49, 50, 51, 52, 53 automobile. it just cracks me up to this day. And he had a lot of mileage on that song, to use a, you know, term. It was probably one of the most popular country car songs that existed. But the next one, this thing crossed over every place. And this song is a staple of every rock and roll cover band, every house band, every bar band. You cannot sit in with anybody and not be asked, you want to do a chorus of Mustang Sally? Oh, yeah, you do. And everybody did Mustang Sally, a 1965. And you know, there's a cool kind of a sub piece of information about that song. So many bands did it. There was a movie back in the 90s called The Commitments, and it was about an Irish wannabe soul band. And the first song that they got together was Mustang Sally. And they did, I mean, that movie itself is worth a rent or a download just to check it out. It's a tremendous, tremendous piece of work, and Mustang Sally figured pretty strongly in that movie. Now, a lot of songs about cars, a lot of songs with car names, and Ronnie and the Daytonas did a really cool one, and people know it by a lot of different names. They know it by Little GTO or GTO. It broke about the same time as the car did, so 64, 65. You got to wonder if the pop single put the Pontiac on the map, or if Pontiac put the song on the map. Even the album was called GTO.
Little GTO, you really look at mine. Three deuces and a four-speed and a 389. Listen to her tacking up now. Listen to her whine. Yi, yi. Come on and turn it on, wind it up, blow it out, GTO.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Blasting out of your Pioneer speakers in the back window of your Pontiac. What a great tune. Now, turn it on, wind it up, blow it out. Of course, you knew what that was about. But, man, that lyric lived forever. It's in movies and everything. What a great tune. Now, there's another one that people don't think about too much, except it really is a car tune. in the, let's see, it would have been the late 70s, early 80s. I'd have to go and look it up because I don't remember the...
Are we thinking about...
We're thinking about Golden Earring.
That was the late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, is it that old?
Oh, yes.
I'm just that old, I guess.
Yes.
But yeah, the song is Radar Love. And what a cool song. And you have to really kind of listen to it. It is a car song. It is most definitely a car song.
Four, and I'm shifting gears.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a classic. Another one that was in that same... You got it? Oh, Steve has got it. He's the producer. He has it. The drum line on this thing is what really gets you. Once it starts, you cannot stop. Here it comes.
That takes me back to some great memories.
Oh, yeah. You can't get out.
You can't get in a car and not listen to that and not want to just kind of put your foot on the floor and hit down the highway.
It's hard to go 50 listening to that song.
I can't drive 55 with that song.
Yeah, you can't do it.
No.
You look up and 102. Wait a minute.
True.
Now, and there were a ton of songs that were about trucking and driving and late at night, stuff like that. But there were also a lot of songs that kind of romanticized the idea of the race, not only the drag race, but the road race, which was a big deal back in the day. And Jan and Dean were a couple of guys in the same sort of general time period as the Beach Boys. They had a lot of competing tunes, and they actually did this tune. It was made into a movie, and there was an old author who wrote car stories whose name was Henry Gregor Felsen. And he wrote books about cars and about car racing and stuff like that, teen angst. And he actually made this song into a book, or the book came out about the same time as the song, but there was a lot of similarities. And then this one is called Dead Man's Curve. You know what these songs are making me think about, Steve? And that is that there's just too many of these things to do in the time we've got. I mean, we didn't get to a whole bunch of them. We didn't get to Maybelline by Chuck Berry. We didn't get to You Can't Catch Me by Chuck or George Thorogood. And, you know, we've got this list of top 100 car songs of the 50s and 60s. We touched on some of them, but you had a bunch of them. We didn't do Autobahn by Kraftwerk.
No, I was looking forward to that one.
Yeah, Trans Am, Sammy Hagar. Thomas Dolby back in 79 did In Cars, which was really a cool song. And we didn't get a chance to do that one, or Going Mobile, The Who. I mean, I saw them play that live in the Seattle Center Coliseum.
Wow.
Plus, there's rockabilly tunes, there's country tunes. I mean, we didn't even touch trucking songs. So, you know, maybe we should do this again.
Yep.
I'll tell you what. If you liked this, if this was kind of fun and you want to hear another version of this or part two, get with us on Facebook. Send us an email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com or just, you know, hit us on Facebook and say, yeah, do more car stuff because believe me, we got a ton. I am going to publish the list of the top 100 car songs of the 50s and 60s. We'll put that on the page as soon as we put the show up a little later this afternoon or evening. And you know what? We may turn this into a rock and roll a rock and roll show before the end of the day. If I start doing talk ups and weather and
you start going to that
time
chalk
checks,
sound again.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
There's no way out of that one, man. This was a lot of fun. This was a good idea, and it's nice to take a little break from some of this stuff. But we got some great guests coming up next week as well, so don't go away. We're going to take a look at the trivia question of the week, and of course a story from Lance Lambert's book. More and all of that coming up on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Today we decided to walk to school.
The light counted. 15, 14, 41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I
realized he forgot his homework.
I hope
he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life or just show up at your garage and weld up the frame for your rod so it stays together. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 206-437-1765. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 206- 206-437-1765, 206-437-1765.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter.
A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States.
This is Quentin Folk. I dig up old hot rods, and I also dig this podcast.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving.
Hi, this is Adam Kramer from Avance.com. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
It's time for Cars Confidential, and we're back with a story from Lance Lambert's book. And what's on deck for this week, Brady?
Well, for this week, we are staying with Fenders, Fins, and Friends. And as you know, Confessions of a Car Guy is one of Lance's greatest books, full of stories of all kinds of cool things that happen mostly to him, but sometimes to other folks. And, of course, you can get these books on Amazon. You can also go directly to the Vintage Vehicle site, Vintage Vehicle Show website, rather. And let's face it, your bookshelf would not be complete without them. This one is called Insult, But No Injury.
Oh, I like the title.
He says, I loved my 1962 Studebaker Lark even after it tried to kill me. Numerous late 1940s to early 70s collector cars have temporarily resided in my garage over the past several decades. None were purchased because I liked them. Some were purchased because I liked them and many because they were cheap. I purchased the Lark, which was somewhere between collector and non-collector
Maybe
status.
Maybe purchased it on a Lark.
In 1994. It was in excellent condition with only 30,000 miles on the odometer and had the odd charm that Studebaker lovers appreciate. The Lark was a very dependable daily driver during the 4 years that I owned it. It always started, ran properly, its basic creature comforts were adequate, the heater worked, and the AM radio filled the passenger compartment with music from the 50s and 60s. Everything was good with one exception. The brakes were lousy. Now, not just slightly inadequate. I mean lousy, as in I might die if the dang car doesn't stop lousy. I made attempts to improve the Lark's brakes with little success. The main problem was a brake fade. I applied the brakes, and they worked properly for a short time, but as they heated up, they began to be less effective. The longer I applied the brakes, the less they functioned, so I learned to drive a bit conservatively to compensate. This was of little help on the day of my near demise. There's a very long and steep hill located in the city of Renton, just south of Seattle. It's about a mile, close to a mile long. Anyone driving a car with poor brakes should have enough sense to avoid this hill. I guess I was a little short on sense that day. Having knowledge of the Lark's inadequate brakes caused me to be cautious with the application of my right foot on the pedal as I began the long descent. Now, I applied the brakes only when absolutely necessary, but the length of the hill and the degree of descent meant that the application was almost continuous. This was effective at the top of the hill and nearly negligible at the bottom. At the bottom of the hill was a stoplight that, unfortunately, was lit as bright red as Rudolph's nose as I sped towards it. Now, the good news is that no car was stopped in front of me that I would be forced to crash into. Most of you reading this are probably thinking, well, why didn't you just jump the curb and eventually roll to a stop, or, as carefully as possible, graze something that would bring you to a stop?
Or however, put it in low.
However, there was a steep slope to the side that would have likely turned the Lark onto the road into an upside-down Lark embedded in a tree. Moreover, the heavily wooded area next to the road would have provided large objects to assist the Lark's poor brakes, but would likely also break me. Instead, I decided to bring all my driving skills into play and attempt to turn at the corner rather than drive through the red light. The car's brakes had been effective enough to slow it down to a speed that might just allow for a successful right turn, but there was a possibility of starting the turn on four wheels and completing it upside down. Still, cranking the steering wheel hard to the right seemed like a better choice than just running the red light. Much to my surprise, the Studebaker successfully made the turn on at least two of its four wheels. The side street was level and led into a parking lot of a large golf driving range. The Lark rolled to a stop, and I climbed out to catch my breath and regain my composure. Could the situation have gotten any more overwhelming? Yes. As I climbed out of the Lark, I noticed a gentleman looking at me as he was loading his golf clubs onto a very nice car that I'm sure had great brakes. Much to my surprise, it was my childhood friend Doug. During high school, Doug and I had been very good friends, and we were two of the six founding members of the Steeds Car Club, one of the Tacoma's better-known hot rod clubs. In the very distant past, we had ridden together many times in cars that were every bit as dangerous as my current car. I seem to recall a rather spindly 1959 MGA that Doug found to be both slow in both acceleration and stopping. Doug, always the sensitive guy, chose his words wisely when he recognized me. There was no salutation of hello or, well, I'll be darned, it's you. No, no. Doug recognized me and said, I see you're still driving a piece of meh. It was great that the Lark and I were still in one piece, and it was great to see Doug again.
Yes, we our good friend Lance does tend to pick up the dog do kind of cars.
And
out
sometimes,
there.
You know, you meet somebody you haven't seen in a long time, and it's like the continuation of a conversation that never stopped. I'm amusing myself with the sort of conversation that would have led to that as a welcome back. And we all have friends like that, it's true. As we have mentioned, and we do periodically do so, Fenders, Fins, and Friends is just one of Lance's books. He also has Grins, Gears, and Gasoline, which is a terrific book as well. And we're going to be doing some stories out of that one down the line a little bit ways as soon as I can find my copy of it.
You know, Brady, I have discovered with a couple of cars that are automatics and even with stick shifts, when you don't have good brakes and or they're heating up, you put it in, you
drop it down a gear, sure.
And all of a sudden you're using the torque of your transmission to slow it down.
Yeah,
and that's really good when it's snowy.
You can do that a lot, although it works better in the snow because your tires skid a little bit and kind of scrub off some of that compression. On the bare ground, if you're going too fast, you can pop a transmission doing that.
in his car, you probably would have popped the transmission. I'm sure, yeah.
The automatic transmissions in those Larks.
You're probably right.
Maybe yes, maybe
now,
no.
Do you know which road he's talking about?
I do, yeah. I can't think of the name of it, but okay. I could drive you right to it, and I know where the golf range is, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big traveler throughout the Renton area. So.
Well, I worked just down the road about half a mile from that location for about 3 years, so I know right where it is, and it's not a pretty sight.
No, there was a big Harley dealership that was there for a short period of time, and then IKEA is down the way from that.
That's actually on the other side of the freeway. It's over to the east from where he's talking about.
Oh, yeah. On the wooded area.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on the other side.
Well,
but yeah. If you are not from the Pacific Northwest or you're not familiar with the Seattle, South Seattle, Renton area, you could Google this. You can do a satellite search and you can find it. It's pretty amusing. And if you don't care enough to do that, then that's okay.
Yeah, don't bother.
We still like you. It's no problem.
And I don't need to go any further on that. But I did want to bring up that McLaren, the British car maker of supercars, is considering the use of synthetic fuel as a replacement for high octane gasoline.
Somehow that's just wrong.
Well, the CEO stated during an interview that McLaren is building a prototype that will run on synthetic fuel and stated it would rather easy to convert a standard internal combustion engine, at least McLaren version, into one. And so he said, and just for a little background, synthetic fuel, it says, or synfuel, is a liquid or gaseous fuel obtained from syngas, a mixture of carbon monoxide and hydrogen, which is derived from gasification of solid feedstocks such as coal or biomass, even by reforming of natural gas. My question is then, would ethanol that comes from corn be considered a synth fuel? And we know that alcohol works really good for drag racing.
Yeah. Ethanol and alcohol are not considered synth because they are basically distilled. It's not the same thing. Willie Nelson's got a tour bus that runs on peanut oil. It's more than just peanut oil, and that is a synth fuel.
Yes.
And
there's an outfit, I think, in
cool
Seattle
to follow him because it smells like French fries.
I think there's an outfit here in Seattle that does that.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
But that's... Man, could you put out the horsepower, though, with peanut oil?
If McLaren... Oh, sure. It's all about compression and you know, the way you... you're not using carburation, obviously. You're using fuel injection, but...
Diesel runs good because it's low compression.
Yeah. It's all about, you know, the engineering of it. And if McLaren is doing it, I think they have that figured out.
Yeah.
You know, they must have that as a thing. That's an interesting story, though.
It is. And they are doing it because it's an alternative to battery-powered... that way, they hit the emissions standards.
Yeah, and you know, we make a lot of noise about electric cars, but it's just the charge time that gets me. That's the thing.
Well, and then the mining and everything else that comes with it that ends up polluting a lot, too. So,
yep, it's true.
Well, stick around. We've got more coming up and, of course, our really cool trivia question.
Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life or just show up at your garage and help. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 425-626-4135. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 425-626-4135. 425-626-4135.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
This is Vince LaViolette from Shelby American in Las Vegas. And you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new cartoons magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can, you're an El Camino, El Camino man, only you can understand.
That's right, our very own El Camino man, Steve, the producer, Johan. Across the studio from me at a safe six
way
and one half
back here,
six
Brady.
And one half feet from me as we speak. Hey, we do have Around the Wheel. This is our final segment. This is where we talk about upcoming events and the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question, which we have right here as we speak. Last week's question was a toughie. It was the first production car offered in the United States. Now, not the first car, mind you, because that one goes way back. But the first production vehicle, one built in a factory specifically dedicated to making cars, was in fact the Duryea. And it was produced, this particular one, I mean, the first one was produced in 1896.
Wow.
Now, the first car offered for sale in America had already been for sale in Europe, by the way. But 1887 for the Benz. And just to put that in perspective, the tombstone, the shootout at the OK Corral was in 1865. So it's 20 years after that. And
doing when did
cars.
The Civil War finish?
Well, you see, 1867.
No, wait, 63?
Now you got me. I'd have to go look.
Well, the OK Corral would have happened after the Civil War, because that's really when the Wild West really started taking place.
Yeah, anyway, so you see, it's been quite a while ago. So the Duryea was the one. It was the first production motor vehicle in the United States. And we got an answer all the way from Phoenix, Arizona. Omar Alvarez sent me an email and said he knew, and he did. He even added a little bit of detail to the story, which was very cool. So, Omar, congratulations. We're going to put your name on the winner's certificate of the great Horsepower Chrome and Rust Barn Find Dust picture that we're going to put on the website. And that leads us into this week's question. This week's question is cool. If you're an Elvis fan, you have to know the answer to this. But even if you're not, you might. The question is this. Tail fins, probably one of the most iconic design features of any American car. Tail fins were introduced on what car and in what year? Now, by the way, when they did this, the fins didn't go away for well over a decade. But you got to know that the first one was introduced on what car and in what year?
Wow.
Now, I'll give you a hint. The hint is Harley Earl.
Yeah.
Harley Earl was a designer, obviously, and worked for a couple of different car companies, but this particular one was the one that got the fins first. If you know, please get with us on email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust, or you can go to the Facebook page and answer it there. You can also send me a message on Facebook, either way. Whatever method works for you. By the way, you can go to Instagram and do it there. You can do it on our YouTube channel if you like. But yeah, please let us know. And if you do come in with the correct answer, then you can join Omar Alvarez and all the other winners who have been enshrined in mystery on our Facebook page.
You know, Brady, speaking of fenders and fins, I came across this really cool thing. There's a Batmobile for sale. It's a 1966 Batmobile replica, but maybe not owned by Jerry the King Lawler.
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 Yeah, Jerry Lawler. Wrestler.
It was built on a Corvette C4 chassis.
Oh, so it's smaller than the original ones.
But then again, it's got a lot of question marks because it's kind of like they don't really know. It just came out of this casino that's been there for many, many years. Asking price is $110,000, and you can go to Hemmings to find out more about this. But
that would be interesting.
It's got some of the famous guys that were on that show. They've signed it, and there's kind of like,
I think you could sign a car, but that doesn't necessarily make it an exact replica. I mean, if it's on a C4 chassis,
I know it's kind of like Captain America. They're really not the original Captain America, just copies.
Hey, thank you for liking and following our website and our Facebook page. Our archives are at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. We're on Spotify, iTunes, and iHeartRadio. Hey, we hope you enjoyed our retrospective of cartoons and car songs this evening. We're going to be doing it again. If you really want us to, let us know. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johan, I am Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Next week, we will do another version of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.